Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. It's Wednesday, hump day, January 10, 2018. Stephen St. John and Nate Bucati. Let's talk more football. I know it hurts, but we're just going to talk our way through this. All right, Kansas City? Love having our next guest on the show, NFL insider, Adam Kaplan. Great follow on Twitter. Kaplan NFL is his handle, and we've got him on to talk about the Chiefs and what should be a very interesting offseason. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Guys, good to talk to you.
Thank you very much for the time. Let's just start with what happened against Tennessee. What was your reaction to the Chiefs' loss to the Titans?
Well, when Travis Kelce got hurt, I knew there was going to be a problem because of what he could do to a defense, and it really changed kind of the focus of their offense, but it doesn't mean you can't still be aggressive, and I think that's where I thought the play calling from Matt Nagy could have been a little better. Matt obviously had done a great job up until that point. I thought things got out of whack. I think the lack of the run game with Hunt, I think that was a problem. But the thing that people don't really point out, and they really need to, the defense. What happened to the defense in the second half? That's why ball control for the Titans happened. They just could not stop Derrick Henry. I think that was the problem. But I think in the end, if we're all being honest here, I think the offense, which was really moved the ball well in the first half, completely collapsed for whatever reason.
Okay, you, before we get back to the offense, you mentioned the defense. The defense was terrible. Derrick Henry ran wild on the defense in the second half. And last year in the playoffs, Le'Veon Bell ran wild on the defense, over 170 yards against the Chiefs. And so many people feel like it's time for the Chiefs and Bob Sutton to part ways. Do you think that will happen?
No, I think it's more personnel-based. I think inside linebackers position, I know they've been trying to fortify a little bit. You know about the trade for Reggie Ragland. Derek Johnson, the ageless one, is still there, but they've got to get younger there. Tackling was just bad, and there was a lack of discipline on the front seven. You know, one mistake, unfortunately, or two mistakes, that's all you need for a big run. I think that's what you saw. So I think when we really look at it, I think that they've got to be honest with themselves. I don't think it's really a coaching issue as much as it's just a lack of making the plays when they were there. And, you know, you've mentioned the playoff issues clearly under Andy Reid. For whatever reason, he's been this great, really, really good regular season coach. And the turnaround that they had late this season was phenomenal. Just when you think that they weren't going to make the playoffs, they turned things around, especially when they handed the play calling Andy did to Matt Nagy. But I think defensively is something that they've got to be better with, certainly in the front seven.
Okay, let's move to the offensive side of the ball. They did have to make a move at offensive coordinator because Nagy got the job in Chicago. Eric Bieniemy is going to take over as the offensive coordinator. What do you think of that move?
Yeah, so Eric was an offensive coordinator for 2 years at University of Colorado, but that was in college. This is a challenge here, and I would assume Andy Reid's going to call the plays at least for this season. It could be longer till he thinks Eric's ready, or you know, Eric certainly will help design the run game, and they have to be in sync here. When with the Brad Childress situation, him sounds like he's not going to be coaching anymore. He's going to retire, so they might be adding more coaches here. I know Andy loves promoting from within. He rarely hires coaches from other teams. So this thing with Bieniemy is interesting because Eric's got, if you followed his career, he's got a lot of energy. He's got a lot of good ideas. And the time has come for him to have a heavy hand in the offense, and I think he's going to have one. And Andy, I'll tell you what, the thing that I love about Andy is he's always a willing listener. And this is the team that people that I've talked to, especially defensive coaches, they run so many college concepts, and clearly this is where Eric coached a lot of his career. And I look forward to seeing how these guys mesh going forward.
You would think it'd be a great sign for Kareem Hunt and the running backs and the running game for the Kansas City Chiefs with Eric Bieniemy being elevated offensive coordinator. That I'm sure they're happy about that, wouldn't you think?
Yeah, and that's obviously, it can't be a bad thing. It'll be a good thing. But it's just a matter of what Eric could bring to it that's maybe a little different than Matt Nagy. And that's the thing. And then the other thing, obviously, with the running game is Hunt had a spectacular rookie season, but we know he had definitely had a drought in the middle of the season. That's something I'm sure they'd like to get going again. But, you know, overall, to me, if you looked at what the Chiefs have to accomplish in the offseason, they've got to address the receiver position. They need more passing targets. I think that's clearly a problem or an issue. They just don't have as many as you need. They probably need to add two more. Defensively, they got to get younger at inside linebacker, and they need more pass rushers. Tom Mahali is basically playing on one leg. Justin Houston is not quite the player he once was after the knee problems. And they got to get D Ford healthy. D Ford was not healthy last season with that lingering back injury.
Okay, before we move on and talk about the quarterback situation, I wanted to go back to what you said about Bob Sutton. And we like to have you on the show because you always have such good information. Now, is it your opinion that they shouldn't move on from Bob Sutton, or do you think that Andy Reid is not even considering making a change there?
Well, Andy's one of these guys, when he decides to move on from a coach, he rarely fires coaches. He did fire Sean McDermott as his defensive coordinator, who took over for the late, great Jim Johnson. And then Sean was able to hook on with Carolina, but he hates doing that. And it would be a surprise if Bob Sutton's not back. But I would say never say never with these situations. Coaches try to, after a bad loss like that, you coaches always tell them that they like to take a step away and kind of review and get a clear mind. And that's what Andy's going to have to do here. But he certainly didn't hesitate moving up Eric Bieniemy, which is something. By the way, he did that, I'm sure, in part because of Matt Nagy making sure that with Matt leaving, he was able to keep his coaching staff, especially on offense, intact.
Who do you think will be the starting quarterback for the Chiefs next year?
My sense has been that this is probably going to be Alex Smith's last season. I know he's got 1 year left on his contract. And by the way, they will have they'll have multiple teams interested if they're willing to trade him. Listening is one thing, but trading is another. Patrick Mahomes is a guy that is going to be fun to watch. You saw in that one game that he started, certainly made some incredible throws, incredible plays that Alex Smith could not dream of making, and his arm strength is enormous. I think there's a possibility he goes. I mean, they certainly won't cut him. That's absurd. There's no way, because there's going to be a trade market. But I think that if they don't get a first-round pick, I'd be very surprised, at least a first-round pick. Because Alex Smith, at the quarterback position, guys, you could play until your late 30s, and Alex Smith is still playing very good football. And this situation at quarterback, because when you look at the landscape at quarterback in free agency, other than Kirk Cousins, it's very weak at quarterback. So I think if the Chiefs are willing to part with him and to trade him, I think there'll be a pretty good market for Alex Smith.
So you don't think they'll trade him if they get anything, if they can't get a first-round pick?
I'd be stunned if they trade him for less than a first-round pick. I'm just telling guys, that when you look at this quarterback position, you've got the two kids who are in the draft who are going to go up high, Darnold and Rosen. After that, I mean, it is like really a struggle. Josh Allen is sort of the wild card who could go anywhere in the first round, but he's more of a project. So when you look at it, and I've already done the homework on this thing, I have seven teams really needing to know who the future quarterback is. Alex Smith clearly could play for 3 or 4 more years. Again, this position, Rich Gannon did it at 38 years old before he had his neck injury. You saw what Kurt Warner did late in his career. Tom Brady defying the odds at 40 years old, 41 in August. There's no question in my mind they would get at least a first-round pick. Or I look at it this way. Another way could be obviously a 2 and a 4. But if I'm Brett Veach and Andy Reid, I hold out for at least a first-round pick, because that is the premium position in the National Football League.
Okay, you said you've done the homework here. What teams need Alex Smith that do you think would be willing to give up a first-round pick?
All right, so here's the way. Again, listen to the way I'm defining this. These are the teams that need to know who their quarterback is going to be for the future, whether it's the near future with a veteran or a guy like Patrick Mahomes for 8 to 10 years. The Bills needed to make a decision who their quarterback is going to be. Is it going to be David? They have a decision to make on his contract. The Jets absolutely need to know in the AFC. So the Bills and the Jets would be two teams. The Cleveland Browns absolutely need to know who their quarterback is going to be. Then when you look at the Denver Broncos, who's their future quarterback? That's four teams. The Arizona Cardinals don't have a quarterback, guys, on their roster. The Arizona Cardinals would be another team. Then there are teams that could go either way, where they have to make a decision on what's going to happen. If the Washington Redskins do not retain Kirk Cousins, they don't have their starting quarterback on their roster. The New York Giants, yet another team that does not know who the future is at quarterback. So that's seven teams, that's six teams right there. Then there are a couple, I think, when you trickle down, could go either way. So trust me on this. The Chiefs are going to have a market for Alex Smith if they're willing to trade him.
Give me some insight on what the timetable for something like this is going into the offseason. How long do you think we have to wait to see some real action between these teams, or how quickly would some conversations like this start to happen?
Well, first of all, no trade could be consummated until the start of the new league year in March. However, I'll give you an example. So I reported years ago that the Eagles had already started. This is when the Eagles had Donovan McNabb when Andy was in Philly at, in 2010-2009 area. When they decided they were going to move on from Donovan, they actually started shopping him at the Senior Bowl. So I'll be at the Senior Bowl in 2.5 weeks. That's when, if the Chiefs want to get the ball rolling, they could start it there. Just start conversations. You try to figure out or get a feel for which teams are really interested in either Alex Smith or improving their quarterback position. And then you continue those talks over the weeks leading up to the NFL Combine, where that's really the hot stove league of the trade market. And then you get it. Then you feel like you've got a pretty good idea what's going to happen leading into free agency in March.
Adam Kaplan's our guest. Adam, what is your opinion of Brett Veach and how much he say he has in these personnel moves, or is this Andy Reid that's going to be calling all the shots?
Well, technically, Brett Veach is personnel control, but Brett Veach would not be in Kansas City without Andy Reid. I mean, that's just the way it is. Same with Matt Nagy and several of Andy's assistants. So they're in lockstep. Nothing really will get done. My understanding is it's kind of like they both have to agree, or they're not. A transaction won't take place. So yeah, Brett Veach is technically turning the card in, but it's kind of like they work very closely together. And with Patrick Mahomes being so talented, you have to remember Andy Reid is a progressive thinker. He was the one who decided he had personnel control, but it had to get approved to sign Michael Vick. He was the one who got the ball rolling on Michael Vick. Andy sees the game differently from a lot of head coaches, and he loves the development of the college passing game in the National Football League. Well, look at Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes, no better example at Texas Tech about college concepts than what Andy Reid sees. And I really look forward to seeing kind of what they do at quarterback going forward.
Okay, so John Dorsey's the GM in Cleveland. You mentioned Cleveland as a possible team that could be looking at Alex Smith. It still was somewhat bizarre how that all happened on the same day. We get these press releases that the Chiefs sign Andy Reid to the extension. John Dorsey is let go. They part ways, and now, of course, he's in Cleveland. What is that dynamic like? Do you think there's still communication and good enough feelings where they can consummate a deal if it is for Alex Smith or anyone else?
Well, Brett Veach would be the point man because he's the general manager, so he would handle it with John Dorsey, and Andy, Andy and Brett would discuss it internally. That's just the way it would work. It's not, these things are not very difficult. These men know each other, and I think Cleveland knows it. They need to figure out the quarterback position because the quarterback position was the reason why they did not have a win this season, and the roster is way better than it showed. And until they could get stable quarterback play, they're not going anywhere.
So, what do you think the real reason that Dorsey was sent packing by the Chiefs?
Well, I had put out there that it was really the communication from just inside the Chiefs building. You could go back to the Eric Berry deal and why it took so long, the lack of communication with agents. It had really less to do with player evaluation. John did a very good job, Dorsey did. But just things went on where I don't think there was good enough communication between everyone, front office, coaches, some people in their building. Felt like they weren't quite aware of what was going on with a lot of situations. So that's something that John will have to do a better job of. But from a personnel evaluation standpoint, I mean, if you look at John's drafts, which I've done, overall very solid, and no question about it. Did have many picks where you scratch your head, why did he do that and didn't work? But overall, I think that the communication angle is something they have to do a better job of. Just with contracts, I could tell you that the Eric Berry situation, my understanding, that was a major factor in just – when Clark Hunt evaluated the situation, that thing should have been done 2 years ago, and they couldn't close the deal, and that's why there was some movement in the front office.
Once again, we're visiting with Adam Kaplan. You can follow his outstanding coverage on Twitter at KaplanNFL, KaplanNFL. Adam, for the people in Kansas City that want to see Patrick Mahomes take over as the quarterback here, I think the argument is it's either you stick with Alex Smith or you take Patrick Mahomes plus the draft pick compensation that you just mentioned they might be able to get in a trade, plus the $17 million that they would save under the salary cap by letting Alex Smith's salary cap number go. So my question, you've already addressed what you think they could get back in a trade in terms of draft pick compensation. What do you think the market's going to be like if they were to save $17 million? How far, with the salary cap numbers expected to go up and all that, how far would $17 million go? I mean, because you mentioned they need to address defense in particular. How much could that help them if they had that salary cap money?
Oh, no question about it. I mean, when you look at it, Alex Smith's base salary is $14.5 million. You clear that out. You clear out that roster bonus of $2 million, the workout bonus, there's your $17 million. There's some dead space of $3.6 million. But getting that salary off the books, getting that money off the books, I mean, you could sign four or five free agents, probably two of them being maybe low-end starters, or you could go after a high-end starter with that money. So, yeah, there are plenty of things you could do. And plus, it helps you re-sign players, because remember, the first year base salary for veterans, you can make that minimum base salary just go with a signing bonus. So there are a lot of ways to be creative. Certainly it would help them under the cap. And I think, look, there are going to be some decisions here. Tom Bahali, his situation, what they're going to do with him going forward. Derek Johnson, who clearly said he still wants to play, one of the veteran leaders on the roster. So they have to take a look at that. And then, of course, with Alex Smith, I'll just tell you this, guys. If they trade Alex Smith, and I think there's certainly a possibility it happens, I think the fans have to be patient with Patrick Mahomes. There are going to be games where he makes your mouth drop and you go, oh, my God, what a play. This has been incredible. Then there are going to be plays where he doesn't play with any discipline and you're going to go, why is he even starting? So you got to be patient with Patrick Mahomes. This is a major work in progress with this particular player. He needs a lot of work, but the upside is enormous.
The upside is enormous, and especially for a city that has been waiting to draft and develop a quarterback since they tried with Todd Blackledge in 1983. I think we're all ready to sign up for it, Adam. Adam, we appreciate your time. Before we let you go, of course, based on what's happened so far, what are your Super Bowl picks? Have you changed on what you originally had? Who do you like to meet in Minnesota?
No, before the playoffs started, I picked New England and Minnesota. I'm going to stick with that. I would have picked Philly to get there, but losing their star quarterback, Carson Wentz, I think is killer. And I just don't think Nick Foles is good enough to take them to the Super Bowl. I'll be at that game on Saturday in Philly. I just think that I know the fashionable pick is to pick Pittsburgh, because Pittsburgh's defense is really improved this season, especially with the pass rush, which has helped the secondary. But I'm going to pick on really Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's experience to get to the Super Bowl, and then I'll pick New England to win it all.
And my final question, do you think Matt Nagy will be successful in Chicago?
Yeah, I think Matt will. I know it's a little bit sooner than most people expected him to get a head coaching job, but I know this, Matt's very – I talked to Andy Reid in March about the owners' meetings about Matt. He gave me – you've probably seen it on Twitter if you're following me. Andy gave me one of the better quotes I've gotten from him over the years. We said he said Matt's the best head coaching candidate he's ever had. And remember, I think he's got 7 former assistants as head coaches right now, which obviously is the most in the NFL. It's amazing. The Andy's coaching tree is big. I think Matt will do well. I think people in Chicago are really going to like Matt, but it's going to take some time.
Adam, thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it.
Anytime, guys. Thanks.
That is Adam Kaplan. Excellent information. If you'd like to follow him on Twitter, Nate, I encourage you to follow him.
I do. All right. That was great stuff, man.
Oh, for me?
Well, yeah, I mean, I thought you asked some decent questions.
Thank you.
But his
Adam
information was great.
Kaplan, at KaplanNFL is his handle. And Nate follows him, so that means if it's good enough for Nate, it's good enough for you, is what
right.
Jake always says.
How about that? I mean, I that's the first NFL insider I've heard speak that confidently about the trade market for Alex Smith. I mean, if you,
I agree with it. Because there's so many teams that desperately need a quarterback that, whether it's true or not, in their minds think that they are a quarterback away. But, I mean, look, Arizona, look how many games that were close, and look how bad their quarterback situation was, and they do not have a quarterback on the roster. Of course you could make that argument for Arizona, and they were interested. They were the bridesmaid. And the last time Alex Smith was made available via trade, they ended up runners-up to the Chiefs. Same thing that could be said maybe for Jacksonville. We'll see how things pan out in the playoffs, but he you know, ran down seven different teams. And it all makes sense.
I thought the point about the Browns was interesting because, you know, we would say, well, they're not close to winning, so why would they want to trade for him? Well, the Chiefs were 2-14, right, when they traded for Alex Smith, and they became a winner like that. So, and John Dorsey was a part of that. So he might look at it and say, look, he said they got better talent on the roster.
Dorsey, please.
Than a winless team. Mm-hmm. And if they look at it and think they've got better talent, they might think, you know what, we could become a relevant team right off the bat if we trade for Alex Smith and draft a young quarterback behind him.
We'll be right back after this on WHB.